Good afternoon. My name is Hugh McKay. I'm the immediate past president of the City Club of Cleveland. I'm pleased to welcome you to the City Club debate between Sherrod Brown and Josh Mandel, brought to you in partnership with The Plain Dealer, IdeaStream, and WKYC-TV3. Today's debate is being broadcast live on WVIZ-PBS and 90.3 WCPN and made available statewide by WKYC. Karen Kassler is the Bureau Chief of Ohio Public Radio and Television State House News Bureau and is our moderator for today's debate. Karen, it's all yours.
Thank you, Hugh, and I'm delighted to moderate this debate between Senator Sherrod Brown and Ohio Treasurer Josh Mandel, Ohio's leading candidates in the race for U.S. Senate. This has been the most expensive U.S. Senate race in the country this year. A large portion of the money spent has come from outside Ohio, due in no small part to the potential for a political shift in the U.S. Senate. I will let the candidates outline their qualifications for this important seat further in their opening statements. Let me explain how it's going to work. The debate will be about an hour long, split into four segments. First, each candidate has a total of 5 minutes for both an opening statement and a rebuttal. It is their choice as to how they want to use that time. Again, we'll hear from each candidate twice in this first segment, opening statements from each, then rebuttals by each, with a total limit of 5 minutes for each candidate. After these opening exchanges, we will have questions from three distinguished Ohio journalists. In the third part of the program, we will have questions from both the audience and the panelists. And finally, each candidate will make closing remarks. We're very pleased to welcome all of you here today. I know many of you support one or the other of the candidates, and we appreciate your giving everyone a chance to be heard by holding your applause. The order of opening statements was determined by a drawing a few minutes ago, and Mr. Brown will present first.
Thank you, Karen. It's an honor for me and my family to join you today. Marcia Grace, Elizabeth, Catherine, Bob, my wife Connie, who has spoken to the City Club a number of times. Thank you to Mayor Jackson for hosting us in your wonderful city. Thank you to the wait staff for your service and for your professionalism. It's a privilege to serve all of you in the United States Senate. 2006, I stood here at the City Club, and I promised one thing, that I would fight for the middle class. That's what I've done for the last 6 years. And today, I renew that pledge for a second term. One of my most important jobs is to listen and to learn. As your senator, I've held more than 200 roundtables, at least one in each of Ohio's 88 counties, listening to 15 or 20 or so farmers, small business people, educators, veterans. I ask questions to a group that's always a good mix of Democrats, Republicans, and independents, and then take their ideas to Washington. Farmers from Henry County told me how we could save tens of billions of taxpayer dollars by eliminating the wasteful farm subsidies and at the same time strengthen the safety net for family farmers. I went to work with Senator Thune, the Republican from South Dakota. We wrote legislation. It was passed in the Farm Bill as part of the Farm Bill in July. Business owners, even in tough times, tell me how difficult it is sometimes to find qualified employees. I wrote legislation with Senator Blunt, the Republican from Missouri, to partner with community colleges like Tri-C and LC and Lakeland to tailor our local workforce training to local businesses' needs. Veterans who have a higher unemployment rate than the general population tell me of the job skills they acquired in the military that they want to put to work here at home. As the only Ohioan ever to serve a full term on the Senate Veterans Committee, I helped pass the Vow to Hire Heroes Act that helps those veterans. And in the fall of 2008, I remember vividly a number of conversations with small business owners and with workers in the auto industry. I listened to a worker in Toledo. I saw the fear in his face and the anxiety in his voice as he worried about his plant closings. How can I provide for my family? How can I pay my mortgage? How can my daughter continue her education in community college at Owens? So I went to work, first with President Bush in the fall of 2008, then with President Obama in the winter of 2009, with Senator Voinovich, with Dick Lugar, with Carl Levin, senators from all over this part of the country. Because it's not just about the big assembly plants in Lordstown and in Toledo. It's about the seat frames made in Lorain, the airbag components made in Brunswick, the steel and aluminum, Mayor, that's made in this city. It's also about the local diner in Brook Park in the hardware store owner in Avon Lake. This job is about real people with real families and real problems and real hopes and dreams. Yet, Josh Mandel said my vote on the auto rescue, and I assume Senator Voinovich's vote too, was un-American. Un-American. I call that vote doing my job to fight for their jobs.
Mr. Mandel, you have 5 minutes total.
Thank you very much. As treasurer of the state of Ohio, I have the opportunity to travel the state quite a bit, and I've come to know a lot of elected leaders throughout our state. These elected leaders have a variety of goals. Some of the folks I meet, and some of them by the time they're age 40, they want to be United States congressman, or by the time they're age 50, they want to be governor, or by the time they're age 60, they want to be United States senator. I try to keep my goals relatively simple. By the time I'm 36, I just hope to be shaving. I was walking in here, and one of the waitresses said, "How old are you?" I'm 35 years old, born and raised right here in Cleveland, Ohio. I appreciate the City Club right here in Cleveland giving this opportunity to debate. I appreciate Sisters of Charity sponsoring this, and also the wait staff as well for giving us this good opportunity. My grandparents came over here around Christmas Day, 1949. Didn't have two pennies to rub together, had the clothes on their back. Ended up in Cleveland, Ohio. My grandfather got a job through the United Auto Workers Union. My grandmother, she worked at Gray Drugstore for over 20 years. Their daughter, my mom, she went to Cuyahoga County Community College. Worked in the public schools for over 20 years. Her son, I went to Ohio State. Got a law degree from Case Western Reserve. And I decided to join the Marine Corps so I could say thank you to this country that gave my family a shot. That's not a unique story. Every one of you out here, everyone watching at home on TV, you can tell a similar story about your family. Immigrants coming over here, one generation sacrificing and sweating, the next generation is a little better, the next generation after that a little better than that. Unfortunately, for the first time since I can remember traveling this state, I'm coming across men and women who are telling me, "Josh, for the first time in my life, I'm concerned that my kids and my grandkids may not have the same opportunities that I have." They tell me about their struggles, and they tell me one of the reasons they're concerned is because they believe Washington is broken. I agree. I think Washington is broken because of a crop of career politicians there who care more about their party than they do about their state. I believe Washington can take a little lesson from Ohio. Let me tell you what we've done in the Ohio Treasurer's Office. When I came in there, it was right in the wake of the U.S. credit rating being downgraded for the first time in American history. We've earned the highest rating on our bonds, the highest rating on our investments, a AAA rating. For the first time in almost a decade, earned an upgrade in the Ohio Enterprise Bond Fund. Our portfolio is up over $2 billion since the day I took office. We voluntarily cut our budget 2 years in a row. Imagine those kind of results in Washington. Imagine that kind of fiscal responsibility in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm running for the United States Senate because Washington is broken. I want to change America and Ohio back into a place so every one of you knows that your kids and your grandkids will have at least the same opportunity you had, if not better. But unfortunately, that's not the case right now. I'm running for the United States Senate to go and change Washington. We can all agree that Washington is broken, and the only way we're going to change Washington is by changing the people we send there.
Now let's turn to rebuttals here. Mr. Brown, you have a minute, 37 seconds for your rebuttal.
A few minutes ago, I told you how proud I was to work across party lines to solve big problems and work on big issues. I'm proud to have earned the endorsement of two groups that don't very often endorse Democrats, the Fraternal Order of Police and the Ohio Society of Certified Public Accountants. They've recognized the huge differences in this race. On Medicare, I'm fighting to preserve it as a guaranteed benefit for seniors because they earned it. Josh wants to voucherize it and turn it over to the insurance industry. On education, I work to take taxpayers' subsidies away from big banks and reinvest those dollars in Pell Grants. Josh would give extra tax cuts to millionaires. On China trade, I work to pass my bipartisan jobs bill, supported by Senator Portman, to level the playing field for Ohio manufacturers when China manipulates its currency. Josh opposes it. On the auto rescue, I work to save 800,000 jobs. Josh was on the other side of that. But don't take my word for it. Listen to those who follow these races most closely. I've proud to earn the endorsement of newspapers all over the state. Most of them did not endorse me in 2006. The Plain Dealer, the Beacon Journal, the Youngstown Vindicator, the Sun Papers, the Athens News, and the Elyria Chronicle. These papers don't trust Josh Mandel because he hired political cronies to do his job, to try to do his job as state treasurer. They don't trust him because he believes in the same trickle-down economics that got us into this situation in the beginning. I believe you grow the economy by focusing on the middle class, on enforcement of trade rules, on all the issues, on the auto rescue. This isn't about personal ambition. This isn't a game. This is about real people.
Mr. Mandel, you now have a minute and 19 seconds for your rebuttal. A minute and 19.
Thank you, Senator. You've just heard why Congress has a 10% approval rating, the lowest approval rating in the history of the United States of America. Because Sherrod Brown and other career politicians in Washington like to blame the problems everywhere except on themselves, refuse to take accountability. He says one thing in Ohio, yet a different thing in Washington. 6 years ago, on this stage in Ohio, he lambasted his opponent for high unemployment rates. Today, unemployment higher. 6 years ago on the stage, he lambasted his opponent for hyper-partisanship, voting with President Bush 94% of the time. He's voted with President Obama 95% of the time. 6 years ago, he lambasted his opponent for not balancing the budget. He hasn't even passed a budget in over 3 years. He just railed against China. You're going to hear more of that today. But what you won't hear is in Washington, he's borrowed over $1 trillion from China on the backs of your kids and grandkids. He'll rail against Wall Street banks, but in Washington, he voted for the largest Wall Street bank bailout in American history. And as you just heard, he claims that he's fighting for the middle class. Yet, his time in Washington, unemployment up, gas prices up, tuition up, healthcare costs up, foreclosure rates up. Senator, that's quite a record. Ladies and gentlemen, he has failed for the middle class.
Mr. Mandel?
He has failed for our state. And the only way we're going to change the situation in Washington is with new leaders.
Thank you. You're out of time. Thank you. Now we have to turn to questions from our panelists here. I'd like to introduce them all, please. Today we are joined by Tom Barris, senior political correspondent for WKYC Channel 3, Henry Gomez, politics writer for The Plain Dealer, and Tom Troy, politics writer for the Toledo Blade. Each panelist will ask one question at a time. Candidates will have 1 minute to respond to each question, and I reserve the right to ask a follow-up question. Candidates will each have 30 seconds to respond to a follow-up question, and Tom Barris, you are first.
Thank you, Karen. Mr. Mandel, first question for you. I think anybody who's been following the race has heard you say over and over again that if you got to Washington, you would not allow yourself to be bullied by political bosses or lobbyists or anybody to dictate telling you how to vote. I'd like to ask the question. You have already signed a pledge with the Grover Norquist Americans for Tax Reform group. In fact, aren't you already sacrificing your independence and agreeing to vote as they dictate? Why did you sign that? What's the significance of it? And again, haven't you tied your own hands behind your back by doing that?
Mr. Mandel, you get a minute to respond to that question, and Mr. Brown, you'll get 30 seconds after that.
Great. I appreciate that question, Tom. I'm proud to stand up for lower taxes in our state, for lower taxes in our country, and that's consistent with my record. As a Lyndhurst City Councilman, I led the charge on the first property tax rollback for any municipality right here in Cuyahoga County. As a state legislator, I advocated for 4 years to eliminate the death tax here in the state of Ohio. I feel it's a form of double taxation. It's one of the reasons why Naples and Palm Beach became second capitals of Ohio. And I'm proud, while we couldn't get it done, that we softened the beach to finally eliminate the death tax right here in the state of Ohio, so we can hopefully keep more small businesses here, keep our intellectual and financial capital here. And as United States Senator, I will do just that. I will do everything I can to advocate for lower taxes across the board, for the middle class and others, for job creators as well. We cannot tax our way to prosperity. If we're going to grow the economy here in the state of Ohio, if we're going to grow the economy nationally, we need a more simple tax code with lower tax rates, a broader base, and one that's more fair for the middle class. A lot of Republicans don't like to hear what I'm about to say. But
Mr.
when General Electric can file a 56,000-page federal tax return
Mr.
and
Mandel,
pay zero taxes,
up.
It's the mark of a broken system.
Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds to respond.
Signing a pledge to a fat cat lobbyist like Grover Norquist and giving away your right to think, which is pretty much what that's doing, means we'll never get to a balanced budget because we're just asking higher income people to pay a little more like they did in the Clinton years. But you know what else it means, signing that pledge to Grover Norquist? It means you can't close tax loopholes, the subsidies that this government and we taxpayers continue to give to oil companies. It means you can't close that loophole that says if a company in Willowick or Elyria shuts down and moves its operations overseas, they can get a tax break to do
Mr.
that.
Brown?
There's simply no sense in that kind of tax policy.
Your time is up. Thank you. Let's now turn to Henry Gomez. Henry Gomez, you have the next question.
Senator Brown, this question is for you. Free trade deals with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea were among the few bright spots of bipartisanship last year between the President and Congress. What would your threshold be, and I note that you voted against all three, what would your threshold be when determining whether to support a free trade bill with another country?
Mr. Brown, you have a minute. Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
I take a backseat to nobody in working on bipartisan issues, the farm bill, the transportation bill, many a highway bill, the things, it's all kinds of issues that we've worked on. But these trade agreements clearly have sold out the middle class. 10 years ago, we had a $1 billion trade deficit with China on auto parts. Today, it's $10 billion. How important it is, because we've enforced trade laws, finally in this country, President Obama's done it better than anybody since President Reagan. We now have a new steel mill in Youngstown, your hometown, Mr. Gomez. We now have more steel jobs in Cleveland and in Lorain. We now have more tire jobs in Findlay. We have more aluminum jobs in Heath, Ohio, in Sidney, Ohio, on the Indiana border. I've written trade legislation that, if enacted as part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, will make a difference in putting trade agreements on the side of American workers and American manufacturers. So far, they've betrayed the middle class. We know what NAFTA did, we know what CAFTA did, and we know what these Chinese trade agreements have done.
Mr. Mandel, 30 seconds. Please, if you can hold your applause, it makes things move more smoothly.
First, I need to correct the first comment that Senator made. You take a backseat to everyone when it comes to bipartisanship. You were named the most liberal senator in the United States of America, to the left of Bernie Sanders from Vermont. Since Sherrod Brown's gone to Washington, our trade gap with China has grown 16 times greater. And today, right here in Ohio, one out of every four kids is in poverty. That is a record of failure.
Now let's turn back to the panel. Tom Troy, you have the next question.
This question's for Mr. Mandel. I'd like to have you clarify, please, your position on the 2009 auto rescue. Do you believe that, on balance, the auto bailout has turned out to be a boon for the Ohio economy and that Mitt Romney was wrong in advocating against taxpayer assistance?
Again, you have a minute. Mr. Brown has 30 seconds.
This is an issue that's personal for me. As I mentioned in my opening, my grandfather was a member of the United Auto Workers Union. As United States Senator, I will take a backseat to no one when it comes to fighting for auto jobs, to protect auto jobs, and grow auto jobs here in the state of Ohio. One of the problems with politicians in Washington who've been there for many decades is that they create these problems. Bad energy policy, bad tax policy, bad regulatory policy, and then they try to take credit for solving them. I would not have voted for that. I couldn't have, because it stripped from middle-class retirees their pensions. These Delphi employees in the state of Ohio, 60 and 70-year-old men and women, who lost almost all their pensions. Think about the mechanics here in Northeast Ohio, throughout the state of Ohio, who lost their job. I could not have supported a process that stripped pensions from middle-class retirees and stripped jobs from mechanics and salesmen throughout the state of Ohio. I will do everything I can in Washington to grow the economy through strong manufacturing policy, strong auto manufacturing policy as well. But I'm not a bailout senator. He's the bailout senator. Bailed out Wall
Mr.
Street,
Mandel.
Fannie and Freddie, and large corporations.
Mr. Mandel. Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds. Please. Go ahead, Mr. Randall.
Josh, do you know about the Chevy Cruze and the Chevy Eco? The steel and the aluminum are made right here in Cleveland. The transmission comes out of Toledo. In Defiance, they build the engines. These are real jobs and real people. That's a big part of the reason that before the auto rescue, and in early 2010, the unemployment this rate was over 10.5%. Now it's under 7. It's not good enough. There are far too many people still unemployed, but we're going in the right reason. That you would be so out of step with Senator Voinovich and Congressman LaTourette and senators and congressmen of both parties all over the Midwest to be against the auto rescue just boggles my mind.
Tom Barris? Please. Let's keep this moving. Tom Barris, you have the next question.
All right, question for both. Do you believe that the stimulus bill has been a success or failure in Ohio, specifically Ohio? Glass half empty, glass half full question. And given the state of the federal deficit, would you be in favor of any more federal spending for infrastructure or other job creation programs to stimulate the economy in the future?
And since this question is to both of you, you each have a minute. And we'll start with Senator Brown.
The Recovery Act worked. The unemployment rate began to come down, not as much as people hoped it would, but it began to come down. The problems were much more serious in 2008 than the administration or any economist to speak of understood. The one-third of Ohioans got a tax cut as a result of the Recovery Act. Billions of dollars came to this state to keep teachers and firefighters and police officers on the job. And we have, as a result of the Recovery Act, in part, we have that steel mill in the rain. But what I would do instead right now is to ask Speaker Boehner to schedule my bipartisan jobs bill, the largest bipartisan jobs bill that passed the Senate in 2011. Senator Portman voted for it. It would level the playing field in China currency. It's time this government stands up for the middle class and for workers and small manufacturers in this great state.
Treasurer Mandel, you have a minute. Please.
With all due respect, Senator, you've had 20 years to try to solve these problems, and it's only gotten worse. 20 years.
Please.
Since he's gone to Washington, unemployment up, gas prices up, tuition up, foreclosures up, healthcare costs up. I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to mention it again. That is a record of failure. The stimulus obviously didn't work. They took $500 million of tax money from throughout America, sent it out to California to invest in a company through a loan guarantee, Solyndra, that went bankrupt, had no good business plan, and was raided by the feds. Yet back here in the state of Ohio, one in every four children is in poverty. That is a record you should be ashamed of.
Henry Gomez, you have the next question.
I'm not for bailouts, and I'm not for the federal government picking winners
Mr.
and
Mandel,
losers. The federal government is not the answer. Washington is the problem.
We're moving on to Henry's question. Henry Gomez.
This question is for you, Mr. Mandel. You criticized your opponent 2 years ago for shuffling his campaign workers onto the public payroll. Yet as the Dayton Daily News and others have reported this year, you followed suit. In particular, you hired workers to work high-level jobs in the state treasurer's office. How is this not a double standard, and what assurances do we have that, as senator, you'll make federal appointments based on merit and not who has helped you politically?
And again, you have a minute, Mr. Mandel, and Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I think the comparison, Henry, is apples and oranges. The folks we've hired into our office are qualified professionals, and I believe their record speaks for themselves. Let's talk about the record. While the U.S. credit rating was downgraded and 14 state and local government funds throughout America were downgraded, we've earned the highest rating on our bonds, the highest rating on our investments, portfolio up over $2 billion since the day we took office. We've navigated the European sovereign debt crisis, not only without a loss, but actually with a yield on behalf of taxpayers. And we've voluntarily cut our budget 2 years in a row. Compare that to Washington. American credit rating downgraded for the first time in American history. Forget about a balanced budget in Washington. They haven't even passed a budget, in 3 years. And Senator Brown says passing a budget is not that meaningful. I will take the team of qualified professionals we have in our office, I will stack them up against anyone in your office, and I'll take them to go change Washington as well.
Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds to respond.
You know, One of the reasons, the biggest reason that Ohio's newspapers have overwhelmingly endorsed me when they didn't endorse me in 2006, because they don't trust Josh Mandel the way he runs his office. He doesn't show up for work. He hires his political cronies. But most importantly, they don't trust him because he won't stand up for the middle class. He's against the auto rescue. He doesn't want to do anything about China. He wants to do more tax cuts for the rich. And then he says he over and over he cares about Ohio's children, because his tax cuts for the rich mean more cuts to Head Start, more cuts to food stamps, more cuts to the basic safety net that Americans really rely on.
Please, we want to keep this moving so we can hear more from the candidates. Tom Troy, you have the next question.
This question's for Senator Brown. Every other level of government has to live within the revenues that it brings in. Can't pass a deficit budget. There's been efforts in Congress to raise taxes on the wealthy. Those seem to be in a stalemate. So until that such time as Congress is able to raise more taxes, doesn't Congress have a moral responsibility to live within the revenues it generates?
Mr. Brown, you have a minute.
We do have that responsibility, and we've moved in that direction. My opponent always says it's good Republican talking points. We haven't passed a budget. The fact is, a budget is a resolution. It's passed by the House and Senate. President doesn't sign it, doesn't have the force of law. We've passed the Budget Control Act, which passed the House bipartisanly, the Senate bipartisanly, and was signed by the President of the United States. The Budget Control Act that we passed cuts $2 trillion in spending, $2 trillion. We've got to do better. We've got to look at revenues. We've got to look across the board at cuts. But we also know that you go and sign a tax pledge to a lobbyist in Washington by the name of Grover Norquist saying, I'll never cut oil company subsidies. I'll never stand up to those companies that outsource jobs. I'll keep giving them tax breaks. That's so far so much the wrong direction to go to get our budget in order.
Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
That's Washington speak. Here's the reality. It's been over 3 years since they've passed a budget in Washington. Can any of you running small businesses go 3 weeks without discussing the budget around your conference room table? Can you go 3 months without discussing your family finances around your kitchen table? It's been over 3 years since they've passed a budget. His time in Washington, federal spending has doubled. The debt has quadrupled. Politicians in Washington living by one set of rules, while all of us have to live by a different set of rules.
Now we have to go to the final question from our panel of journalists, at least in this segment. And Tom Barris, you have that question.
Again, question for both of you. Do you believe that current federal and state regulations are adequate to protect the public from possible environmental dangers dealing with fracking and disposing of those dangerous liquids in injection wells? And how do you balance the need to protect the environment, yet still not threaten the great job creation potential of this industry in the state?
And this question is to both of you, so you both have a minute to respond. I'll go with you, Mr. Brown.
Last few years, we've made great strides in this country in energy independence. There will be two criteria that affect my decision on what happens with shale development. The decision by communities and what they'll permit in their areas so that cities actually have some local control and say on this, and my concerns about the water supply in making sure that this is done properly. It still means there's significant job growth in the energy industry in this state. I believe in job growth in energy across the board. It means solar. It means batteries. It means lithium batteries. It means biomass. It means across the board. And I think we generally move in the right direction as a country. And I don't buy the false choice that it's good environment or good jobs policy. We've seen that in the auto industry. We've seen miles per gallon go up, and we've seen a thriving auto industry because of the work that Senator Voinovich and President Obama and President Bush and I did on the auto rescue.
Mr. Mandel, you have a minute.
I'm not sure if anyone knows what he just said, but I think it sounds like Washington speak. The question, Senator Brown, was whether or not the regulations on the books are adequate. Listen, I'd like to applaud the state legislature and the governor for working in a bipartisan way to be the first state in America to ensure that when companies are drilling here in Ohio through hydraulic fracturing, that they have to make public to us as citizens the chemicals that are being used in that process. That's a good thing, and I applaud the legislature for doing that in a bipartisan way. I'm a strong believer in drilling for oil and gas in a responsible way, a way that protects the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the environment for our kids and grandkids. And as long as we can do it responsibly, it's a win-win-win-win. New jobs for our state, affordable energy for our factories, for senior citizens heating their homes, for us gassing up our cars. Stronger tax base for our communities to pay for our schools, to educate our kids, take care of our senior citizens. And that fourth win, if I may, for just one moment, where my hat is a Marine Corps vet. It's national security. We are most safe here in the United States when we produce energy here in the United States. And as United States Senator, I will do everything I can to ensure that we have aggressive and responsible oil and gas drilling right here in the state of Ohio.
Thank you. We now turn to questions from the audience now. These questions will be interspersed with questions from our panelists here on stage. Questions addressed to a specific candidate will be answered with a one-minute time limit. The other candidate also has 30 seconds to respond. Questions addressed to both, once again, will be 1 minute for each. To the audience, I thank you in advance for your cooperation in making your questions, and they should be questions, stating them as briefly and concisely as possible. First question, please.
Mr. Mandel, my question for you is, in your last election, you implied that your opponent was a Muslim, and by implication, you said that it's not a good thing to be a Muslim. I'd like you to explain, why is it not being so bad being a Muslim in America?
And Mr. Mandel, you have a minute. Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
I appreciate that question. I spent 15 months of my life doing everything I could to protect Muslims in Iraq. And so I believe we need to do everything we can to ensure that innocent Muslims, Christians, Jews, and anyone of any race, religion whatsoever, creed, has an opportunity here in America, and frankly, they have opportunity throughout the world. One of my main problems with radical Islam is that women in the Middle East are treated like garbage. Women in so many radical Muslim countries in the Middle East are treated as second-class citizens, and it's unfair. And I think this is an issue all of us, I know there's a good mix of Democrats and Republicans here in this room, but this is an issue we can all agree on. This is something we can all work on together. We can go on the attack, not in a military way, but in an intellectual way, and take on this issue of women in the Middle East being treated as second-class citizens. It is not okay. It is not okay for women in Saudi Arabia to be stoned if they have the audacity to go out in public wearing blue jeans. It's not okay for a woman, if she gets raped in a Middle Eastern country, for her to be prosecuted or thrown in jail. And I'll do everything I can as United States Senator to work in a bipartisan way on issues like that.
Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
We've seen a pattern of these kinds of campaigns from Josh Mandel. We've seen it today. Attack, attack, attack. Doesn't have to have a lot of substance as long as you attack. We saw it in 2010. The plane dealer in endorsing me, a paper that did not endorse me 6 years ago, said electing Josh Mandel would reward one of the nastiest campaigns ever waged in this state. I want a debate about ideas. I don't want just conservative talking points. I want to see us talk about, you know, what does the auto rescue mean? What does this China policy mean? What do we do with community colleges and small businesses to grow jobs in this state?
And now we go back to the audience for another question.
For Senator Brown, in light of the tremendous budget issues that we face, and it's going to have to cut some spending. How are you proposing to ensure that
And this question was to whom, I'm sorry? To whom, I'm sorry?
To Senator Brown.
Senator Brown, did you hear the question?
I did.
And you have a minute, and Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. I convene every year in Washington 50, 60 college presidents, two-year, four-year private public colleges, to talk about how we and share ideas about how we have better access for middle-class and working-class kids to go to college. One way we don't do that is more tax cuts for the rich, and then by necessity, you've got to increase the interest rates on Stafford loans and cut Pell Grants. That's what's happened too much in the last decade when the government was focused on more tax cuts for the rich, a war that wasn't paid for, in the Medicare giveaway to the drug companies. So we need to get our fiscal house in order. We need to balance in terms of revenues, in terms of cuts, but we need to invest in the future, and higher ed, including community colleges, is one of our most important investments in the future.
Treasurer Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
Sure. As I mentioned, my mom went to Tri-C, has a degree in early childhood education, and I'm a strong supporter, as is my family, of public education, not just K-12, but also affordable higher education as well. Unfortunately, though, Regardless of what he says up here in Ohio, in Washington, his votes and his record has produced higher tuition here in the state of Ohio. So you can't in the state of Ohio talk about representing the middle class and then go to Washington and vote for policies that create higher tuition rates for the middle class right here in the state of Ohio.
Let's turn back to our panel of journalists. And Henry Gomez, you have the next question.
This question is for both. The fiscal cliff looms. What should happen in the lame duck session to address this cocktail of tax hikes and spending cuts? Can a deal be reached to delay the cliff or solve the debt crisis in other ways? And what would you give up to make such a deal happen?
And you both have a minute to respond. I'll start with you, Mr. Brown.
We surely need a balanced approach. We surely need in the lame duck session to soothe the markets by telegraphing that we're going to be serious about this. But I take a backseat to nobody, my opponent's comments notwithstanding, on getting to a balanced budget. I was part of the 1993 budget deal, which led not only 21 million private sector net jobs increase, it also led to the largest budget surplus in American history. What happened after that? The Iraq War passed, wasn't paid for, I opposed it. The Medicare privatization giveaway to the drug companies wasn't paid for, I opposed it. The tax cuts for the rich. I think you follow those same tenets. You ask the people that are upper end, do I get a whole minute now or what do I get here?
No, this is...
Well, he interrupted Mike. Okay, fair enough. I'll answer it quickly then. It needs a balanced approach. We need to, and I'm just saying, I take a backseat to nobody in working on balancing the budget in spite of the talking points that my opponent repeats over and over and over again.
Mr. Mandel, you have a minute, and be advised, if you're not answering, this is what happens.
Henry, I appreciate you interjecting there. Again, Washington speaking, a journalist actually called him on it. In Washington, they talk this gobbledygook, okay? But they haven't passed a budget, have not passed a budget in 3 years. 6 years ago, he stood on the stage, and he ran TV ads against Mike DeWine, lambasting him for not passing a balanced budget. They haven't even passed any budget. Let me tell you some ideas that I think I'm going to take on Republicans in order to balance our budget. First, I don't think we should have all these military bases in Germany and Italy and England. We're not fighting the Nazis anymore. We're not fighting the Cold War anymore. Why do we have this large footprint of our military in Europe? Bring some of those boys and girls home. Use that money to pay down the debt. Use that money to protect Social Security and Medicare for the next generation and for current generations. Also, no more bailouts. No more Wall Street Bank bailouts, Jared. No more Fannie and Freddie bailouts. Use that money here. Third, a few months ago, Sherrod Brown voted to give $1 billion of your tax money to Pakistan. We need that
Mr.
money
Mandel.
Here for Americans,
Mr.
not
Mandel.
For folks in Pakistan.
Thank you. Now let's go back to the audience for another question. I understand our next questioner is in the balcony.
Hello. This is a message, or excuse me, a question for our current Senator Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown, you have told us in your campaign that you are all about jobs for the middle class here in Ohio, and you're all about giving us less expensive energy. Yet you and your administration, and I say your administration in Washington because you vote 95% of the time with the administration, have declared a war on coal here in Ohio. And to give you a brief description of a war on coal.
We need to get to the question, please. We need to get
all right,
to the question.
The question is, if you support the war on coal from this administration, which is closing power plants, in fact, the one that's 4 miles from your
we
house
we need to get to the
Avon
question,
Lake,
please. Please get to the question.
How is it that you support jobs and cheaper energy in Ohio when you do that?
Mr. Brown, you have a minute. Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
There is no war on coal, period. There are more coal jobs and more coal produced in Ohio than there were 5 years ago. In spite of the talking points and the yard signs and the efforts of a coal mine owner in southern Ohio to do whatever he's doing. The fact is that unemployment in Ohio is coming down. It's not where we want it to be, but it went from over 10.5% in 2010 to under 7.5% today. That's because of our efforts on the auto rescue. That's because of our efforts on enforcing trade rules. That's because of our small business tax breaks, and it's because of what we're doing to support community colleges. It's what we're doing to support NASA and to have NASA and work with Ohio State and work with Wright-Patt and Dayton and all the kinds of things I'm doing behind the scenes and individually working with groups and people to create jobs in this state.
Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a war on coal in this country. While President Obama is the general, Sherrod Brown is his main lieutenant. The Ohio Manufacturers Association estimates that one new regulation called Utility MAC will cost Ohio 50,000 manufacturing jobs. So when this came up for a vote in the United States Senate, Sherrod Brown and Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat from West Virginia, had a very difficult decision because they're in heavy coal states and heavy manufacturing states. At the end of the day, Democrat Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia took on his party, took on these fringe groups from New York and Hollywood.
Mr. Mandel?
And he did what he did the right thing
Mr.
to protect
Mandel,
jobs.
Sherrod it's time
Brown
to take another question from the audience,
jobs
please.
Manufacturing jobs.
Mr. Mandel, let's take another audience question, please.
Hi, this question is for Senator Brown. I've been doing a lot of reading, and I read that you were, when you ran for office, you were in favor of term limits and that you would stop running for office after 12 years. Number one, I wanted to know why you broke that pledge, why you broke that word to the people, and are you going to stop running for office?
Mr. Brown, you have a minute. Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds.
Not exactly. I was wrong. I made a mistake. But I also know that when I'm opposed by somebody who in 7 years has run for four different offices, who promised in 2010 that he would serve his four-year term in as state treasurer, who then within weeks was flying off to places like the Bahamas to raise money from payday lenders in raising money for a Senate race, and he has the nerve in encouraging his friends to ask questions about term limits when he clearly has no regard for any of that.
Mr. Mandel, you have 30 seconds to respond. Please, please, let's keep this moving. Please.
I can't answer his question. I mean, he already did. He made a mistake. He lied to the people of the state of Ohio. He told the people of the state of Ohio.
Please, please. Go ahead, Mr. Mandel.
He told the people of the state of Ohio that he would only stay in Washington for 12 years. After 12 years, he broke that pledge. He's now been there for 20. What have we gotten? When he came into the Senate, average income for Ohio family, $53,000. Today, $44,000. Gas prices up triple since the day he went to
Mr.
Washington.
Mandel.
That's a record I would not be very proud of.
Let's turn back to our panel of journalists. Tom Troy, you have the next question.
This question's for Mr. Mandel. As unpopular as Obamacare is among conservatives, there are some elements of the plan that have popular support. For example, allowing young people to stay on their insurance until they're 26 and requiring that people with pre-existing conditions can get insurance. How would you, and with specificity, please, how would you maintain those benefits without the requirement of people buying insurance?
Mr. Mandel, you have a minute. Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
We have to make cuts in our other parts of the government in order to pay to cover folks for pre-existing conditions, or to your question, with young adults on their parents' insurance. If there's leaders in Washington who want to do that without Obamacare on the books, you got to make significant cuts. A lot of Republicans will say, don't touch defense, don't touch the military. Listen, if we're going to have a good faith conversation about strong health care, about a balanced budget, we need to actually make cuts in defense. I mentioned some of my ideas in respect to Europe. Another place I'd like to cut, I mentioned Pakistan, but I need to get a little more specific. A few weeks ago in Egypt, our embassy was overrun. In Libya, our ambassador was killed. Why in the world is Sherrod Brown and other politicians in Washington voting to give our tax dollars to countries that harbor terrorists when we need that money here to pay for health care, to protect Medicare, to protect Social Security? It doesn't make any sense. We need that money here. They're going to hate us without us paying them to do that. We don't need to pay them to hate us.
Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
That was about as specific an answer on health care as he's given throughout the whole campaign to Ohio journalists. But the point, no, the whole, quiet, please. The whole point is this. There are 1.2 million senior citizens now in Ohio who have gotten checkups with no copay and no deductible. More than 200,000 seniors in Ohio have saved $600 on their drug costs, the people who fell into the donut hole. Families who have diabetic children or asthmatic children don't lose their health insurance now because we built consumer protections in there for those families. That's what this law is about. That's why I'm proud I support it.
Let's go back to the audience for another question. Go right ahead.
This question was addressed to Josh Mandel. Mr. Mandel, throughout the campaign, whenever you are asked about abortion, your answer is very simple and very direct. you say you're pro-life. But there are millions of American women who'd like to know more about that. Because since Roe versus Wade, decades ago, hundreds of thousands of women have had legal abortion.
Can we get to the question, please?
Now, if you were to be elected Senator of the United States, what would you do to implement the United States Supreme Court decision which made legal, under Wade versus Roe, a woman's right to have an abortion?
Mr. Mandel, you have a minute. Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
Well, to your question, I don't believe it's the role of a United States Senator to actually implement a Supreme Court decision like that. It is the role of a United States Senator, though, to advise and consent. And I will take very seriously my role, especially if I'm put on the Judiciary Committee, to vote for justices that I believe understand the Constitution, understand that it's a document drafted many, many years ago by folks who had a vision for our country and understood that vision very seriously. Listen, I'm pro-life. I believe in protecting life. And I'll do everything I can to protect innocent life. At the same time, the three main issues I'll be focusing on in the Senate are these: jobs, jobs, and jobs. And for any of you sick of the unemployment rates, sick of high gas prices, sick of high tuition rates, you want your kids to have a job after college, I'm your guy because he's failed at it.
Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds to respond.
Unlike Josh Mandel, I trust Ohio women to make their own health care decisions. I would note, first I would note the non-answer, but that's been sort of par for the course of this debate and for his 18-month campaign. But I also would note that Josh Mandel's position on women's health is more extreme even than his presidential nominee. No exceptions for rape, incest, or the health of the woman. And that's not something, that is so far out of the mainstream of Ohio's women's views, as we all know.
Let's go back up to the balcony for another question from the audience.
Well, this question is for Mr. Mandel, and
I'm sorry.
Okay. This question is for Mr. Mandel, and I was looking over your record before I came to the debate today, but I was happy to hear, before I even asked the question, how much you support the women in Muslim countries. So my question is, your record shows that your opposition is for equal pay for equal work, which certainly affects American women. Your support of the heartbeat bill, which certainly affects American and Ohio women. And
we
your
need,
opposition.
We need to get to the question.
The question is, what can you tell us today to give women and the men who love them the confidence to support you when your stated positions clearly do not support them?
Mr. Mandel, you have a minute. Mr. Brown, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I appreciate that question. I'd like to recognize my wife, who's here. My wife, Alana, who's been a rock for me, has been very supportive along the whole way. And I know my mother and my sister are somewhere back there as well. I'm a son, I'm a brother, and I'm a husband as well. And I'm proud to have a good mix of Democratic, Republican, and independent women supporting my campaign. Around the state of Ohio, what I hear from women time and time again is that they're concerned that their kids can't find a job after high school or college. And that'll be my main focus. I believe the number one issue facing not just women, but our kids and our grandkids is jobs. And unfortunately, our high unemployment rates, gotten even higher since Sherrod Brown was in office, it's a record of failure. And so when I talk to women throughout the state of Ohio, what they want me to concentrate on is a better economic environment and better education for their kids. And I will take a backseat to no one when it comes to that. I'm the product of public schools. My sister and my mom
are
in public schools.
Mr.
I'll do
Mandel.
Everything I can to support strong public education far into the future.
Mr. Brown, would you like to address that question?
First of all, extremism in women's health is not helpful to women in this state at all. But I also understand the importance, of course it's a women's issue, that we provide jobs for working women. Yesterday I was at Heinen's with my wife and Avon, the Heinen's grocery store. I met a woman who worked there this is her second job. She also works for the public schools. She has three kids in college. It's a women's issue that we step up, not do more tax cuts for the rich, because this woman's not benefiting. It's important we step up. While you do tax cuts for the rich, you undercut Pell Grants, you undercut Stafford loans, you undercut funding a community college. This woman wants a chance to help her kids get opportunity.
Thank you very much, audience, for your questions. We now are already at closing statements from each candidate. We had a drawing earlier to determine who would go first. Each candidate will have 2.5 minutes to make their remarks. And Mr. Brown, you go first with 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you all. This election isn't about personal ambition and moving up the ladder. It's not about clever, poll-tested sound bites. It's about making Washington work for all Ohioans. Above all, it's about ensuring that people who work hard and play by the rules can get ahead. My opponent believes in the same trickle-down economics that led to years of stagnant economic growth and put our economy on the brink of collapse. I believe you build the economy by investing in the middle class and grow out from there. Simply put, as we know, Josh Mandel is a politician who can't be trusted. It's well established he can't be trusted to show up for work and do the job that he was elected to. It's well established that Josh Mandel can't be trusted to hire qualified financial people, instead hiring his political cronies. And he can't be trusted to tell the truth, as you see today. Everyone in this room knows that Josh Mandel can't be trusted to fight for your job because he's too concerned about running for his next job. But most importantly, this election isn't about Josh Mandel, it's not about me. It's about real people with real concerns. On Medicare, I want to strengthen Medicare. He wants to voucherize it and turn it over to the insurance industry. On China trade, I led the effort to pass the biggest bipartisan jobs bill to stop China from cheating. Senator Portman supported it. Josh Mandel doesn't. On education, I fought to freeze interest rates on Stafford loans. Josh Mandel would rather do tax cuts. In the auto rescue, we know that story. He believes you grow an economy from the top down with tax cuts for the wealthy. I believe you grow our economy by investing in the middle class. That means auto rescue. That means enforcing trade rules. That means helping small business. That means investing in community colleges, in partnering with the private sector to create jobs. You have my commitment. I'll continue to get up every day to fight for every job in every way I know how.
Mr. Mandel, you have 2.5 minutes for your closing statement.
If you're happy with Washington, if you think Washington is humming along and you're happy with how things are going there, if you're part of that 10% of America who approve of the job that Sherrod Brown in Congress is doing, then he's definitely your guy. But if you're sick of the hyper-partisanship, if you're sick of the bickering, if you're sick of the infighting, if you're sick of politicians in Washington thinking they could live by one set of rules while all of us live by a different set of rules, then I'm your guy. One thing I know for sure, we are not going to change Washington by sending Sherrod Brown there. He's been there for 20 years. He's had 2 decades to try this out. I mentioned in my opening, if you're happy about high unemployment rates, Sherrod Brown's your guy. If you're happy about higher tuition rates for your kids, Sherrod Brown's your guy. If you're happy about higher health care costs from government-run health care, Sherrod Brown's your guy. If you're happy that the federal government hasn't passed a budget in 3 years while you have to manage your own family finances, Sherrod Brown's your guy. If you're happy that Ohio has become an exporter of kids and grandkids, Sherrod Brown's your guy. But if you want new leadership, if you want to take our state and our country in a different direction, if you want someone who's willing to rise above partisan politics to do what's best for our state and your country, then I'm your guy. For this whole campaign and up here on the stage, Sherrod Brown, he blames other people. Around the state, you hear him blame George Bush. You hear him blame China, but he's borrowed $1 trillion from them. He rails against Wall Street banks. However, he bailed him out. He rails against Mitt Romney. Heck, if he had enough time, he'd probably rail against George Romney as well. He's looking for someone to blame. But here's the reality. Politicians in Washington, they're not holding themselves accountable. And if they're not going to hold themselves accountable, we have to hold them accountable. And the only way we're going to do that is by electing new leaders to Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our debate. Thank you very much, the candidates, Sherrod Brown and Josh Mandel. And thank you also to the panelists, Tom Barris, Henry Gomez, and Tom Troy. And also thank you very much to this enthusiastic and engaged audience here. Reminder, Election Day is Tuesday, November 6th, and of course you can start voting right now. Early voting is underway. Thank you.
This forum is now adjourned.